coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America live from Saratoga on a Friday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us as always on this morning's edition of the show. Hey, our friend Ron Nicoletti is in town. We'll be joined by him in a little while. We'll take a look at some of the races, get some opinions from Ron. And also, they have a nice two-year-old that's already run a few times down at Gulfstream. We'll touch on that because it is that two-year-old time of season. We'll talk with that. We'll talk about that with Ron. Couple of interviews we taped over in the paddock yesterday, talked to Chad Brown briefly, talked to Linda Rice briefly, so we'll show those coming up. And also I had a replay, a race across the pond yesterday worth watching, Enable, another victory on her resume. We'll watch that coming up a little bit later on also. And Karen McLaughlin will join us, as endorsed in the Travers, also has some other runners of interest that we'll talk about. Dawn the Destroyer is on the card tomorrow in the Ballerina, but of course he's had a couple of nice stakes wins as well. The Saratoga Derby, A Thread of Blue looked pretty good, winning the Rich Saratoga Derby, and I guess is headed on now to the third leg of that Rich Turf Series as well. But we'll hit on all that with Karen coming up a little bit later on. But top of the show, she's here. Her annual Saratoga visit, Alicia Wince-Hughes from the NTRA, Director of Communications. Good morning.
Thank you so much.
And welcome to Saratoga.
Yes, thank you for having me back.
Happy to have you back. The annual visit to Saratoga, you have brought the beautiful weather.
It's the least that I could do, right? Well, I said I can't take credit for it because I came from Lexington where it's been about 95 degrees for the last 2 weeks. So maybe that combined with the rain here, maybe it helped give us this happy medium of perfection that we've got going on right now.
You and I were talking before we went on a great card tomorrow, and it's gorgeous now.
Oh, fantastic card. Like I said, it's, you know, similar to very much what we had with the Belmont card where it's just one grade one after another. You know, so many of the top players in their respective divisions are going to be in action tomorrow. Just a fantastic day. The weather is going to be absolutely perfect, even though Mother Nature can turn on us at a dime here. So everybody, if they're not already playing too, should absolutely be on the ground here tomorrow.
Yeah, given the weather situation in Saratoga so far, I had Dave Grenigan yesterday, and I said to Dave, the weather forecast looks great for the weekend, and both of us simultaneously gave it one. It was like we had planned it, but just the situation so far with the weather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful day and can turn on a dime, but the forecast on those days has been something could happen. The forecast over the weekend, it just looks like it's going to be beautiful up here. So if you're planning to come, continue your plans, and if you're not planning to come, change your plans and get up here.
Come out early, get your bench, get your picnic table, get out here.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Looked at your Twitter feed last night, and I pulled up a couple of videos that the guys will show. You have Owendale galloping, and also got Stormy walking the shed row off of her phenomenal one-week difference performance, the Della Rose, and then the record-breaking performance in the four-star Dave against the boys. There's Owendale. I'm going to tilt towards Owendale in the Travers, so I'll be interested to see what your thoughts were. He was just out galloping by, but how did he look? And, you know, wherever we go on our road trips, we see you in the cadre of people out on the backstretch early in the morning where you grab these shots. So give us some thoughts. Owendale, got Stormy, and any other interesting notes from walking around the backstretch the past couple.
I thought just he made, you know, physically, he makes a very, very good impression. He's a very stout looking horse, very good looking animal. You know, I think in Brad's part, you know, I don't think Brad leads anything over unless he thinks it has a real shot and a real opportunity. And he was able to give him his first classic starter in the Preakness this year. And the way that this whole complexion of this race is now shaping up, I think you can make a case for probably most of the field that they wouldn't surprise you. And I think Owendale, I mean, like I said, he definitely merits a look. He definitely should be in the mix. I wouldn't, you know, I don't know what his final odds are going to be, but I don't think it would, I don't think he would be a shocker in the least to see him jump up and win. It does look like on Class, Tacitus, Code of Honor are your two top ones there. You know, bless Tacitus. I feel there's almost of like if he can't, I almost feel like if he can't pull this off tomorrow, you know,
Dave said yesterday, Grant said, put up or shut up time. Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is.
And he's, you know, and he's obviously, he's had some legit excuses, especially last time out, the terrible break he had and the great run that he made there. But, you know, you do start to wonder, is he a horse that just has a knack for finding trouble, you know, and you kind of get concerned about that, of how many chances you get him to kind of really make good on all of that fantastic breeding and ability that he has showed. So, yeah, I do feel like tomorrow, I said, Dave, as usual, puts it best. I feel like it's put up or shut up time for Tacitus.
And give us a little, we saw Got Stormy walking down the shed row. How's she feeling now?
Two
super performances, you know, 7 days apart.
Yeah, and, you know, and Mark, you know, reiterates, the plan is to go on to Woodbine with her, Woodbine Mile, and go and tackle the males again there, literally following in the footsteps of Teppan. Of what she was
who
able
he
to
compared
follow.
Her to in the winner's circle,
yeah,
after the four-star day.
And he says that, and again, he always kind of knocks a little bit of wood when he mentions that, because he doesn't throw that out lightly. But he did say, you know, she does kind of, remind me right now of when Teppan started to get really, really good when she came to Belmont and got her first grade one there. It's kind of on that arc, and Mark has quietly been confident that Got Stormy was heading in that direction. And, you know, Marcus also has that old school mentality of run them when they're right.
Yeah.
You know, and he gives, you know, although he gives a lion's share of the credit to Gary Barber for pushing of like, let's go, let's make this happen with the four-star Dave. But he said, run them when they're, he's like, when they're good, run them, when they're not, rest them. And he's just, you know, he saw how good she was doing. She's a really, really confident mare. And, you know, you can just see it with her physically. I said, she's not imposing, but you can just see she's just carrying really, really good flesh right now, tremendous energy, although there is a little bit of drama in the barn. Wurvewill's getting a little jealous of all the attention that Got Stormy has been getting. So I reminded him he can fix that himself.
That's right. Yeah, change that quickly with a victory, certainly. But Got Stormy, a nice story. And as I say, you were walking around the backstretch and pulled up that video as you sat down. You said this morning you saw last year's Drivers' Winner, Catholic Boy, who the word has come out, not going to point for the Woodward. That was the game plan, but they're just not kind of happy with where he is right now. But how do you look?
Yeah, I mean, he said he looks good, but yeah, I spoke with Jonathan Thomas a little while ago, and yeah, he just reiterated just not where he wants him to be right now, just coming out of that last race. I asked if the Jockey Club Gold Cup might be in play. You know, it's under consideration, but I think he's pretty much taking the, you know, we're going to let him tell us when he's ready, when he's right, where he wants to go next. It was kind of fun just sort of reminiscing with Jonathan about, obviously, this time last year, such a huge emotional win, such a big one for him and his operation. And there were so many layers to that story with Mr. LaPenta, who had just battled illness earlier in the year. And he would like to have him back in his peak form, but I said, but this is a good time of year to kind of look back on what he achieved. And I said, and, you know, and I feel like people, he was obviously a grade one caliber horse going into that race, you know, on turf at the time, but he was a great stakes winner on multiple surfaces, and to have a horse with that kind of versatility, I said, it's always just extra, extra special.
Yeah, grade one winner, turf and dirt, certainly Catholic Boy will anticipate his return. Anything else to notice? You were bouncing around the backstretch the past couple of days?
I almost feel, just going back to the Travers Field, and again, it's so wide open. I almost feel like just with the way momentum and everything's going, I think this might be when Chad gets his first Travers. I feel like
he at the draw the other night, he seemed, and I mentioned this to him in the interview we'll show later, kind of quietly confident. I mean, everybody's confident in their horse, but you got the sense that he felt like, yeah, I got a decent shot.
And you know, when he said that, and I asked him about it afterwards, I'm like, you know, for you to say you think this is your best chance, I'm like, you came in here last year with the two-year-old champion and Gronkowski, who was, you know, the runner-up in the Belmont. And I know last year he felt very good about those two, and he made a good point where he's like, obviously those two horses had a lot of class. I did feel good about them, but he's like, hindsight, They had both been through, you know, the grind of the Triple Crown, especially Good Magic going in the first two legs, running head-to-head with Justify and what he ended up being. And he was like, and he said, you know, I think looking back that maybe those races took a little bit of a toll on both of them when they got to this point. This year he has two horses in Highest Honors and looking at Bikinis, who are both, they have six starts combined between the two of them. But they're both, he's like, having lightly raced horses who are a little bit fresher. You know, again, some of these other three-year-olds have literally been beating up on each other to this point. It's, you know, Chad just, it sounds like a broken record with him. His barn just has so much momentum right now. And it's like, I'm like, you know, this might, you know, we all thought he was going to get it last year. You know, this might be, this might be Chad's year to get his Travers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And if Chad wins the Travers at a little bit of a price, every handicapper out there will
and
be kicking themselves.
And Highest Honors looks like a horse, you know, I said, as those distances get longer, he, you know, it looks like his form has gotten better. And, you know,
I had the feeling he's higher on him.
Yeah, I think there's still, you know, the question mark with looking at Bikinis was the rail his undoing the last time, or was the distance his undoing? And they're kind counting on the rail right now, but they're obviously going to get the answer to that question tomorrow. But Highest Honors is one that you know, he's felt like, you know, as we get to these classic, you know, to the classic distance, that's what he would really show himself. Like I said, and his, you know, his form would suggest that.
Going to the NTRA website, I pulled up the top 10, and there are two polls that go through the Triple Crown. There's a separate three-year-old poll, and then the general weekly poll. That three-year-old poll, as soon as
we kind of wrap up the three-year-old after that point, and then in just after the thoroughbred poll, which obviously the three-year-olds can be voted into. Maximum Security is currently the only three-year-old,
you know, which is suitable. I mean, I think it sums up the class right now. Yeah. He, given what he did in the Haskell, has kind of risen understandably and justifiably to the head of the class. I think after that, it is wide open. This and the Pennsylvania Derby are going to hopefully sort things out a little more.
The Pennsylvania Derby could be extremely interesting. Yeah. If everybody who says they're going shows up there, again, you could have your final rematch finally of Maximum Security versus War of Will. Mr. Money looks like he's pointing there. He's Brett Calhoun is, you know, he seems like he's really turned a corner, and he's kind of quietly gone through and racked up a lot of these grade two, grade three wins, and has really, you know, developed into a good horse himself. So the Pennsylvania Derby could be its own little battle for three-year-old supremacy. Again, if everybody who says they're going manages to make it there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see how this three-year-old scene plays out over the next month or so, and then when they have to step in against older. I wanted to touch on one more topic on the top 10 poll, because I made notes. The top 10 poll, 1, 2, 3, six of the top 10 have already raced up here at Saratoga. McKinsey, Sister Charlie. Bricks and Mortar stands at the top of the list. McKinsey, Sister Charlie, Midnight Bijou, Matoli, Elate is number 9. And three of the top 10 run tomorrow, so that bodes well.
I mean, how spoiled is everybody here? We were talking before we came on of, we have so many horses who are, you know, some of the leaders in their division who are going to be in action tomorrow. Midnight Bijou, I mean, she was always a good filly. She's just gotten so, so good this year. And, you know, we're going to have that great showdown with her in Elate again. They're going to meet now at the mile and the eighth distance, which, you know, I think, you know, that's one of the lingering questions with Midnight Bijou is, she, as great as she is as a mile and a 16th, how can she translate at the longer distances? Steve Asmussen, you know, said he was like, it is still a question, but yet you look at her Kentucky Oaks, he's like, it's not, you know, she actually looked like she needed more ground. When you look back at her distaff, it actually looked like she needed more ground. It wasn't like she was, you know, getting there and not finishing. It didn't look like she was hitting a wall. And I also think back to, you know, with Steve, you know, he had a horse, obviously, in Gunrunner a couple years ago, who people questioned that, you know, could he get the classic distance, and then we saw what he ended up becoming.
Yeah, so the, you know, that personal answer, our friend Roddy Vellante has Coach Rocks in there. It's going to be a fun race on a fun card with a number of grade one events. Matoli in that sprint, the three-year-old sprint is great as well. I want to see if Chancelot can do two wow performances up at Saratoga. Alicia, before we let you go, just want to touch on NTRA. Obviously, also one of the big efforts is the National Handicapping Championship.
Yes.
We had the opportunity at the beginning of this year to go on the road and cover that. Saw you there, obviously, for the NTRA. And coincidentally, in the paddock yesterday, I ran into Karen Carey, who is a part-time Saratoga resident. She's a registered nurse down in Manhattan, but spends a lot of time up here. And she was a top 10 on the leaderboard on last year's NHC tour, and went to Vegas, obviously, and I checked in, and she's been playing all the contests this year. But more importantly, she plays the low roller up here, which I love, Thursdays and Sundays, and she says that kind of hones your skills. So she kind of got into it and continues to play the low roller.
We're going to be at Bally's this year for NHC. We're going
I was going to let you tout that a little bit. A little change up coming next year, but again, it's a lot of fun, and just inform people if they go to the website, there's a calendar with all the upcoming qualifiers and whatnot.
And we've got the Beat Bic Challenge going on as well.
I've been taking my shot. Again, the qualifiers continue through the end of the year, and I think there's even a couple of qualifiers once the calendar turns.
I think they actually go into January a little bit. Yeah. So you said you still have your chances. It's only $50 to join the tour if you haven't already, and you can, like I said, you can win an NHCC, have a chance in there, have a chance to win $800,000. Scott Coles will tell you how how beneficial that can be. He said our winner last year was the first time he had ever played, you know, in the NHC tournament and everything, and he ended up winning the whole thing.
We had earlier this season, we had Matt Vedvolgi from Albany, who finished third.
He made it to the final table as well.
And had a great, he got to the final table as number 9 and bounced up to number 3 over the last set of races, and that it was just fun to be out there. And again, take your shot to get out there, because it's a room of like-minded people moves to Bally's this year, and people are excited about that. So visit the NTRA website for more information and jump on board. I would say you have to think a little bit differently of the contest, which makes it fun.
It's intense.
Hones your handicap.
Yeah, it is intense. I mean, it is a grind for everybody. You know, I have admiration for the mental stamina of all those handicappers in there.
I interviewed a couple of them over the few days we were there, and it was all, so what are you doing tonight? You going out to, no, I'm going up to my hotel room. I got a handicap for tomorrow.
Exactly.
But it was a lot of fun. And again, check out the website and jump in and take your shot. Alicia, appreciate the visit. Enjoy your time
here. Thank you so much for having me on.
In Saratoga. And I guess we'll probably see you in a couple of weeks up at Woodbine.
Yeah. Yes. Hoping to make that happen.
For some Got Stormy.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Alicia Wincy, who's Director of Communications for the NTRA. We'll take a break when we come back. Our friend Ron Nicoletti has come to Saratoga. He's taking a little break from Gulfstream for a few days. We'll talk to Ron right after this. Stay tuned.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contest, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Friday morning, the day before, as it were, but a nice New York red car today on what is a gorgeous weather day. Maybe he brought it up from Florida. Look who's here, Ron Nicoletti.
It's a yearly tradition to come on the day before Travers or the day after the Travers, and I'm so glad the weather is fantastic.
Oh,
I've been praying for this type of weather. Came in, I know you guys have been getting hit with storms and everything like that lately, just like us in South Florida, which is normal, but it's been just a pleasure. Out on my bike this morning.
I was going to say, did you bike in?
I didn't bike in. I biked this morning, I didn't bike in today.
Because you usually come in and your cousin is right in town, owner breeder himself. I've seen him a couple of times at the meet.
Yeah, he's doing good, except he has Five Oak Farm, except it's now Three Oak Farm. Two trees came down during that storm last week, wrecked his fence. So I was joking when I call it Three Oak Farm.
The crazy wind and storm, and there were some trees down out here in the backstretch as well. So, that's unfortunate. All right, Ron, you're going to do a little handicapping for today and tomorrow. But before we do that, I was looking up, and this time of year we're always – high on two-year-olds, and so I wanted some thoughts on a two-year-old that's already raced three times down at Gulfstream Park, and that clearly you've had the chance to see this one, Chance. The chance to see Chance It. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a look August 3rd, Florida Sire, the Dr. Fager division. Chance It's going to be the number one horse. This was the second win in three career starts. Wins by chart margin of 3.25. Chance It looks like a very promising two-year-old.
Very promising two-year-old. And, of course, we have the second leg of the Sire Stakes coming up this next Saturday, and it is the Affirm division. And this is where it gets interesting with the two-year-olds, because this is 3/4 mile. The Affirm is 7 furlongs, and then you go to the $400,000 mile in the 16th finale, the In Reality. So this horse, we've seen this a couple of times before, horses like this. They're just very precocious. This one looks special. He had to work the other day in a little over 46 and something, and it was a good work, and we showed that work the other day. Looks like he's coming into the race in good form.
Yeah, Safi Joseph trains by currency swap out of a pleasantly perfect mare, and so far again 2 for 3 with a second place finish in the career debut back on the 1st of June. So 3 starts so far, a couple in June, and that August 3rd start we just saw. We'll have to keep our eyes on Chance It again as a nice two-year-old potentially out there on the horizon, continuing, you would think, on that rich.
Well, he got a 91, if you follow buyer figures. He got a 91 in both those races. There's two wins. He got a 91. And I think the highest buyer in the country for a two-year-old is 97. So he's right there with not only the best Florida breds in the country with two-year-olds as far, but now you're going to get the big question if they can handle a distance crowd.
Yeah, two-year-olds this time of year are 91. It's pretty substantial, certainly. All right, let's get some of your thoughts today. New York bred card, you're in town, and we'll shift. Usually we watch you on the simulcast signal looking at Gulfstream. Obviously, is there a lot of, I'm imagining as you walk around the facility this time of year, I'm imagining down at Gulfstream, a lot of people looking at the Saratoga signal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of our biggest times for the summer season, along with our race. And, of course, you know, if you follow South Florida racing, the Rainbow Six is now touching $1 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's exciting time. Anytime you get Rainbow Six, it's just amazing to me how that thing just grows and grows. But, yes, it's that's it. New York and Florida are, for lack of a better, kissing cousins. We follow
and the summer program has really upgraded over the past, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, just going in, like up here, we've been dodging raindrops. So, during the summertime in Florida, it's no great news or anything.
Well, and part of why we were doing it is we had Florida type weather, just hot and humid.
Right.
You get that tropical, and then the afternoon storm all of a sudden will pop up. And that's what makes today and over the weekend, the humidity is kind of cut out. So we're not in that tropical situation.
No, I'm loving it.
Exactly. All right, let's get some thoughts. A couple ideas for today. The West Point, these are New York bred runners, three-year-olds and up on the grass at 1 mile and 1/16. Offering plan, I couldn't get by that one. Therapist underneath. Voodoo Song, I talked to Linda Rice yesterday, and she wasn't sure whether they'll go or not. We'll have to look at scratches, but I kind of went master of the obvious. What are your thoughts on the West Point?
Yeah, I did too. I tried and beat Offering Plan. Beat a half length in the West Point last year. But I don't know, does 7-year-old get the same pace this year? That was my thought process. Now, Therapist, we're in agreement with the top two selections. 8-5. I didn't know what the morning line was until I looked this morning. I just was handicapped without the morning line. And I was going, yeah, this horse, you know, I would take him at 2-1 or 3-1 or something. And then I saw 8-5. I said, I don't know. But with that said, I went with the offering plan and Therapist in second, who I'm expecting to run well in here. You know, I just thought this horse ran okay last time out and should move forward.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun race, obviously. My man Jonathan Shepherd with Everyone Loves James in there. I think that horse is up against it. It's Jonathan Shepherd. I'll have a couple of bucks on it at the 20-1 morning price. But it was fun, and we didn't mention on the handicapping show, I haven't mentioned it yet, Jonathan Shepherd winning the steeplechase yesterday with Winston C. Wins the New York Turf Riders, won the Smithwick earlier with Winston C. So it was nice to see Jonathan Shepherd. Two grade ones at the meet.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, I just always love that his pants come up to here, which I always liked.
And it was, as I say, it was fun to see him in the winner's circle again. He had that long Saratoga win streak snapped a couple of years ago, but to come back this year with two grade ones was fabulous. The Albany, it's always fun. I talked about it in the handicapping show earlier, this subdivision of New York bred three-year-olds. There was the Big Apple Triple for years, which was the Mike Lee, the New York Derby, and then the Albany up here. They don't have that kind of moniker over it anymore or the bonus, but they still have the three races, and we're getting the winners of the Mike Lee and the New York Derby with Blind Willie McTell and Bank It. I had Randy Hill in yesterday. He's got a couple in here. I think he preferred Not That Brady off the second place finish as the beaten favorite in the New York Derby. I went with Blind Willie McTell. I think that one's going to benefit from the two-turn experience last time and maybe move forward and get back to what we saw two starts back with the win in the Mike Lee. But what are your thoughts on the Albany?
Well, I went with the nine horse in here, Dupe's Point. And what I thought about it was just that I thought this horse had the best chance to get the mile in an eighth distance. It's one of the angles I like. You know, ran okay at the distance last time out, was beat a half length, you know, against State Bred. I'm, of course, stepping up today. I just thought that that horse might be the right one. I like the fact that it has tactical speed. Now, I was torn between that one and Blind Willie McTell. You know, I that was the way I was going, but I'm just going to go with a little bit of a price. I believe the horse is 8-1 in the morning. And one of the angles I always like is I like to see horses that have sort of done something, you know, at the distance before. Yeah. It's a wide open affair, so I went 9, I went 5, and then I went with the two horse who you mentioned, Bank It. I think the wise guy horse for me is the 9, then with the two logicals underneath.
Yeah, it has the nice performance at the mile and eighth over the track, 8-1 on the morning line. I think you'll get all of that, I would assume. So a little shot with Duke Point. We like that. All right, let's go to tomorrow's Travers. Really intrigued to see where you went in here while we talk. I'm tilting towards Owendale. I'm going to take a little shot there. But while we talk, I wanted to pull up the Affirmed. This is back in the middle of June. Mucho Gusto is going to be the winner. Mucho Gusto is going to be the number 6 horse. Kind of sits off the pace in here and closes. I'm wondering, though, if this horse, given the lack of speed, you look underneath, this horse I think has the potential to maybe go out and try to steal it on the front end for Bob Baffert. So Mucho Gusto, very interesting to me. As I say, I'm in a season where the three-year-olds past maximum security are all kind of up in the air, I'll take a little shot with Owendale, who I'm not sure how the win in the Ohio Derby classes up with the Travers tomorrow, but I thought the third in the Preakness was pretty good, so I'll tilt in that direction. But Code of Honor, Highest Honors, looking at Bikinis, Tacitus, clearly endorsed. We'll talk to Kieran in a few minutes. Tax, it's a loaded field. What did you see in the Travers?
We didn't talk before this. You showed the video that I wanted to show. I went with Mucho Gusto for all the reasons you mentioned. And I think this horse is coming to the race with a top. Bob Baffert seems to win almost every Travers. You know, but I just thought that the tactical advantage was for Mucho Gusto. Now, Tacitus, they're putting the blinkers on Tacitus. I think they want to keep him a little more focused early on in the race. And then the other horse, Code of Honor, is the way I went. Code of Honor has really done nothing wrong yet for Shug. I mean, this horse had trouble in the Kentucky Derby. You know, ran well, just as coming back, no chance to beating the maximum security that day in the Fountain of Youth, comes back, runs, wins the Dwyer, I believe it was. He won, right?
Yeah,
Dwyer. Yeah. He wins the Dwyer. And I just thought, so I looked at this race for a good hour this morning, back and forth, and I come up with mucho gusto. So I'm glad you showed a video. It's speed, and it's Bob Baffert. So I'm going to go there, and I think 6-1 on the morning line.
Yeah, we'll see if that holds up with the Baffert name, but it won't surprise me if it moves either way or sticks right around there, because I think it's a field where it's a little hard to know where the betting public is really going to get pulled into. But I think it's a fun addition, a field of 12, and again, a season where the three-year-olds are kind of all up in the air. I said it with Alicia a little bit earlier. I think playing out the next month or so with this race in the Pennsylvania Derby, things will sort out a little bit better on that three-year-old scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's still wide open, you know, with Maximum Security not running here. You know, it's just been one of those weird years, of course, starting with the trouble in the Kentucky Derby, then Johnny V going down the Preakness, falling off the... So it's been one of those crazy summers, we'll call it. Weather-wise, too.
Yeah, which makes it fun. Yeah. That's the way we like it. Ron, always appreciate the visit. It's always fun, you know, when we visit Gulfstream. You let us borrow your set, and we appreciate that. So it's fun to have you up here sitting on our set at Saratoga. Enjoy your visit. More importantly, cash a few tickets.
I hope so. Thanks, Ted.
Ron Nicoletti, Gulfstream Park, and a little sojourn up here annually to Saratoga as well. All right, we'll take a break. I see he's in the green room. Karen McLaughlin up next. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by trainer Karen McLaughlin, has endorsed in the Travers. We'll talk that in a little bit more. Dawn the Destroyer also on the card on Saturday, and some nice stakes wins earlier that we want to touch on as well. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks good. For coming over, and everybody has commented on it. I will let a trainer comment on it as well. Gorgeous weather, right?
Unbelievable. Beautiful.
This is what we've been waiting for here, and people can look over my shoulder and see how good it is, and if they look far enough, you're green tree right back here, right?
Yes, we are. That's where endorsed is.
And how often do you work your horses there over the synthetic track as compared to coming over here and working them?
During the meet, we try and stay on the main track because that's where we're racing. Yeah. But we do have a couple of turf horses that do well back there on the poly. And is in Luke Cullen, Romantic Pursuit, and Curbon, all trained back there all the time.
And again, it's a really nice facility for folks driving up Nelson Avenue. Go by and take turn left and take a look. It's a really gorgeous facility, training facility, just right adjacent to really Clare Court back here. All right, let's jump in and talk a little endorsed. While we talk, we're going to pull up the Curlin endorsed. This was career start number 4. Endorsed will be the number 7 horse, running second behind number 8, Highest Honors. And again, as I say, this was career start number 4, first time around 2 turns. Pretty good looking second place finish again for the first time around 2 turns. How did Endorsed come out of the Curlin? What were your thoughts, and how does he proceed into Saturday?
We were concerned about going from 6 furlongs to 9 furlongs. And we just didn't want him to have a tough race and empty out and finish 4th, beating 8 lengths. So he ran very well being 2nd here. He came out of the race better than he went into it. So we were kind of surprised how well he came out of it. He's trained fabulous, eating every oat, and looks great since the race.
From a trainer's perspective, from a handicapper's perspective, I always look at that first race around two turns and a performance like this, a good second, as maybe being educational. Horses are creatures of habit. The first three races around one turn, do they benefit the next time once they've had that two-turn education?
Yeah, I would say the trainer does too. So we were a little worried about nine furlongs. So, yes, the horse and trainer and connections, and we felt like always with his pedigree he wanted long. So we're all set. Everything's, you know, in order, perfect. It's just a tough race and 10 furlongs, but we think he'll get the distance, and Joel rides him well. We drew outside. That shouldn't be an issue. So all systems are go.
What are you anticipating pace-wise? Because a lot of handicappers are looking at the race and saying, gee, it doesn't seem to be much pace. So do you have a game plan going in, given the scenario?
Well, we'll leave it up to Joel, which is he's a great rider. Yeah. The outside horse, Tax, appears to be going to go to the lead.
That's what Danny said.
Yeah, and then Baffert's, you know, come from California. You feel like he has speed. And there'll probably be one or two others, but it might not be that fast a pace, and depends on how fast the pace is where we'll be. But like I said, outside is okay for us if we're not too far wide around the first turn.
Beneficial being lightly raced?
Well, hopefully.
He had a little ding after the Champagne last year, right?
Yes, he did, and he had time off and came back and ran very well, going six furlongs, and then the Curling was an excellent race. So we're happy with him, and maybe it's good that he wasn't in the battle of the Triple Crown. Mott's obviously the horse to beat. He's been unlucky not to win his last couple. Blinkers on. He might show more pace.
I'll ask you another handicapper to trainer question. A lot of handicappers think third start back off a layoff is beneficial and a good race to kind of hang your hat on. From a trainer's perspective, true?
Yes, true. That's true because, you know, it's the third race. He should be 100% fit now, and all systems are going. He's just doing very well.
What's your confidence level? Can you have a confidence level?
It's hard.
With a lot of question marks, trying the distance and everything?
We're confident that he's going to run an A race. Whether or not that's good enough to win, you don't know, but he couldn't be doing better. No excuses.
All right. We like the A race scenario.
Yeah.
So good luck there. Let's move a little earlier on the card. The Ballerina, Dawn the Destroyer, is in here. She's the outside post position in the field of seven. We're going to go back and take a look at the Bed of Roses, which was her last race. She's going to run third in here. Separation of Powers, Challen, run 1-2 is the seven and the three. Dawn the Destroyer is the number five in here, running third. What are your thoughts coming out of this and coming into the Ballerina tomorrow afternoon?
We were very nervous at this stage. She was last. We thought, wow, what happened? But she finished up really well. Johnny rode her, and there's a lot of pace in the race, and we're just hoping to hit the board for the grade one placing. She's a stakes winner and had graded placing earlier, but not grade one. She finishes strong here.
Yeah, there was no point up until about the 16th pole. You think she's going to be any place.
Correct. So she's doing really well. She's kind of hard to place as far as not any allowance races for her. In the stake race, she's already won a stake earlier this year. So grade one, tough race, but we hope to get a piece of it.
All right, so a couple of solid entrants on the stakes card on Saturday. As I mentioned, also wanted to go back and talk a little bit about some of the success you had earlier in the meet. And congratulations, pulling down the $1 million.
Yeah.
And I will say, as a handicapper, I could have kicked myself after the race. And I read quotes from you after the race saying, how'd they let the horse get away? And how did I let them? Because I liked Thread of Blue a lot earlier in the season. And I think a lot of people like me did the what have you done for me lately scenario, the fourth place finish in the Penn Mile. I think people started to discount the horse. And after the race, we'll watch the stretch run here. We're talking about the Saratoga Derby Invitational. $1 million, part of that new turf triple here in New York. And a Thread of Blue rebounds very successfully here at 13-1, $28 and change. But a nice performance, chart margin of a length. What were your thoughts in the Saratoga Derby?
We thought that it could work out this way. He loves firm ground. At Penn, it was soft, and then it looked like there wasn't that much pace. So it worked out great. We haven't had the best of meets. We usually bat a little bit higher percentage. but we are 1-for-1 in million-dollar races. So hopefully tomorrow.
Put this in the holster. Your beat's okay.
Yeah, that's right. So it was. He worked excellent this morning. So he continues to train well, and we're pointing for the mile and a half September 7th back at Belmont.
Yeah, that's the last leg of that turf triple. And again, reiterate a little bit, it was a yielding course down at Penn. It was also a mile, so the surface maybe played against them. The distance, the mile?
Right. It looks like, you know, when you go a mile, you're always going to be entertained with others in early pace, so it's nice to go further. They tend to leave you alone.
Yeah, 1 3/16 was kind of on the front end all the way around. 23 and change in the Saratoga Derby, 48 and change, 112 and change. What are your thoughts on a front end win? Because if you have a closer, you can kind of, coming around the far turn, still have confidence no matter where they are. But when you have a front end horse, it seems like around the far turn, you got to be sitting on the edge of your seat hoping nobody's coming.
Right, and they were coming. He just dug in and finished strong. Going a mile and a half, we don't have to be on the lead, and we'll see how the, you know, who draws in the race, who enters, to see where we'll be. But most likely we'll be first or second early, and you just hope he can get the mile and a half.
And as I say, I kicked myself because he was just at one point. I really love this subdivision of three-year-olds on the turf, so I pay a lot of attention to it. And I think coming out of the Gulfstream meet, you had to put him at the head of the class.
Right.
And so that I just let this one. I had the horse a little bit in the mix, but
I
kicked myself
race.
Afterwards. That price, it was just one of those head knockers after the race is over. Another stakes win a little bit earlier in the meet. We're going back to August 3rd. The Lore LeCullen, you mentioned, has been working behind us at Green Tree. LeCullen's the number two horse in here. And again, nice closing effort and a nice gutsy win to just get up by a nose over Sacred Life. LeCullen, the number two horse. What was the thought in this race, and how's he come out of it? What's plan next for LeCullen?
Yeah, we will probably look at the Woodbine Mile for him.
Okay.
He got there a little bit too soon, I think. He was full of run early, and Louis didn't want to get there too soon. And he got there easily and then held off Chad's closer. But he's really nice horse. He's come back with two wins since a long layoff. So we have Kerbon for the Bernard Baruch, and we'll probably take him to Canada.
All right. No. Qualms about Got Stormy after seeing that one in
Four-Star
Dame.
Right, yeah.
She
was impressive back in the week.
But that'll be fun. We'll look forward to it because we usually go up and cover the Woodbine Mile, so it'll be fun to see potentially you coming up there with LeCullen. Always when we get trainers, like to talk a little bit of nuts and bolts, new fans and old fans alike. Talk a little bit about, because clearly, when we open the racing form, a horse like Endorse, any of your horses really, there are workouts, there are timed workouts. But the horses go to the track much more than is evidenced by those timed workouts. Take us through a horse that is coming to a race, coming to a stakes race, let's say, and there's that timed workout, maybe a week out. But what is their schedule otherwise? How often do they go to the track and just kind of gallop around?
Usually, we after they run, we walk 3 days. And then we will gallop the fourth day and gallop for 10 to 14 days. We like to back up from the race, point for a race, and back up a week and give ourselves a day or two in case of weather. So we usually work 8 days out, 8 or 7 days out, and then back up from there. So he worked twice in between Endorse. And we work, walk, gallop, and go 5 more days and then work every 7 days usually. If there's a big gap, you have to be a little concerned as a gambler, or it's weather related. Sometimes it's tough when you have a lot of rain.
Yeah, talk about that as a trainer at this meet. How has the weather affected things?
We've been pretty lucky. It's rained a few times and hard, but they've done a great job with the track, and it's been okay. And we're lucky for the Maktoum horses
we've
trained. We're able to train back there, so that's a big plus, but only the Maktoum horses.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, the Green Tree that we mentioned before, there's a synthetic track back there. And how is that with the weather?
It's
they describe it an all-weather surface.
Yes, it's great. I mean, it handles the rain super, and it's great when it's dry, too. So it's an excellent track, and I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we see some more of racetracks going back to synthetic for safety.
with the situation, certainly, yes. But also the overseas, they call it an all-weather surface. And, there was the situation going back a few years when they had the synthetic at Keeneland. It was kind of funny. When races got rained off the turf, they wound up with more horses.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to touch, I was looking up a little bio information for you, and I wanted to touch on a couple. First off, you've trained some notable horses over the years. Do you have a favorite?
Invasor has always been my favorite. Kind of, and then Frosted, was a great horse. So we've had some very nice horses, luckily. Questing here, winning the Alabama. We've had some nice horses, but Invasor always has been the favorite.
And I also pulled up, and I think the guys have the photo, if they picked it up, you got endorsed in the Travers on Saturday, and you already have a Travers victory. You go back a few years, 2012, I think we have the photo here. Alpha and Golden Ticket, dead heat in the Travers. I think it's the only Travers dead heat, and there you go.
Yes.
What is it like as a trainer? Again, handicappers a lot, very much the same. You kind of sweat out these photos, but in a race like this, with everything it means, what's it like to sweat out the photo?
It was tough sweating it out, but we both trainers were happy to share, because it is a grade one win for the horses and for the team. So it was a long sweat, but it was great that they put up both numbers.
Yeah, it was fun. And I always say Saratoga's full of stories, and that's one of them with the dead heat.
Yeah.
Also looking up some bio information, Dumani, you went over in Japan in 1995. What was it? Did you go over? And what's Japan racing like?
It was wild. There was 150,000 people there, and they have a program. They roll up the program, and they're cheering, and it was a great experience to win. Yeah, such an important race there with him. And then he went on to win the Shadwell Mile twice with Julie Crone. So he was a neat horse, very nice horse.
Yeah, as I say, going down your bio, I saw the race in Japan, which I thought was interesting, because it's kind of an insular racing community, but they do have a few international events. And I think they're opening up a little more and more.
Right.
This was a while ago.
We went from Dubai to Japan.
Yeah, at that point, you were still a regular over in Dubai.
Yes, correct.
Kieran, really appreciate the visit. Always appreciate your taking the time, because I know it's clearly busy in the mornings up here at Saratoga, particularly coming into a week like this. But wish you a lot of luck. Don the Destroyer, certainly endorsed in the Travers and going forward. And good luck also, A Thread of Blue, continuing on with the Turf Triple, as I say. Win like that, tuck that in the resume, and it makes your Saratoga. I continue to kick myself. I'll be on board at Belmont.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Kieran McLaughlin. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. We'll have a couple of taped interviews from the paddock yesterday and more. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head-to-head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As I said at the top of the show, Brian Edo for his show tomorrow was over in the paddock yesterday and had a nice long interview with Bill Mott talking about Tacitus and more. So you'll see that tomorrow on Saturdays at the Spa. But while we were over there, Brian Dorenzo had the camera, and I saw Linda Rice and I saw Chad Brown, and I said, hey, let's grab the camera while we're here and get a couple of minutes from each of them. Chad, obviously, with a couple of runners in the Traverse. We'll talk about that. And Linda Rice with some runners this afternoon on New York Showcase Day. Let's start out with Chad. Highest honors and looking at bikinis in the Traverse. We talked about those two and a little bit more. Up next, Chad Brown.
Entrance in the Traverse on Saturday, and I saw you at the draw. You sounded quietly confident in both of them. Trainers usually are, but I think you had some high hopes. They're both lately raced. Let's hit them on them one at a time. Looking at bikinis, ran third in the Curlin. Let's touch on that one. How'd the horse come out of the Curlin? What are you expecting Saturday?
Came out really well. I mean, he ran on a wet track that day. We're hoping that's what it was, because he's going in there into the race, training really, really well. I expected a little bit of a better effort. So he's come out of that race and had two really good workouts on dry tracks, and you know, the clear forecast Saturday and a better post to get off the rail, I expect the horse to run a lot better.
Highest honors won the Curlin.
Then direct order. Highest honors and endorsed are moving, and they're moving in tandem on the outside of Rowayton. Looking at bikinis, has thrown in the towel and is back running in fourth, and they're into the stretch. And it's highest honors on the far outside who has taken the lead. Endorsed is second, and then comes looking at bikinis, who's trying to battle back on the inside. Rowayton is fourth. Passing the 16th pole, it is highest honors and endorsed, and highest honors has the lead down to the wire. Highest honors has won the Curlin. Endorsed was second best under the wire, four lengths clear of looking at bikinis, who held third from Rowayton.
That was obviously a very good effort, only career start number three, so probably some upside potential. What do you expect from highest honors on Saturday?
He's doing really, really well. You know, I was impressed with his race in the Curlin. You know, he's lightly raced horse, his first time two turns, and he, you know, he took a lot of mud and was able to work himself out a trip and finish the best. So I've seen just more improvement from him in his workout since the Curlin, and I've been waiting to run a mile and a quarter for some time.
So the distance you think is going to be a benefit?
Absolutely.
Let's, before we let you go, touch on the 2 3-year-old fillies, Guarana, the coaching club American Oaks, and give us some thoughts Saturday, Dunbar Road. She looked fabulous in the Alabama. And what's next? It sounds like the cotillion for Guarana and maybe older for Dunbar Road next.
That's correct. You know, thankfully both of them came out of their races in good order. You know, Guarana's, you know, finishing up her final preparations for the cotillion that's right around the corner. And Dunbar Road has let her ease back into work schedule here over the next couple weeks. And be looking to run her probably in early October, probably against older horses.
And just before we let you go, you're having another great meet, and I know I see your dad out in the backyard, and he's in the winner's circle with you often. Saratoga, is that fun for you?
Yeah, it's really fun. He said all my family and my friends, and you know, it's my time to really catch up with people during the meet. I know I'm busy, but you know, I grew up here, and it's this meet I look forward to every year.
Congratulations so far on the meet. Good luck going forward to Travers as well.
Thank you.
Good luck to Chad Brown. Appreciate his taking a little time. We caught up with him right before the stakes race yesterday that he had a couple entered. So appreciate his taking the time. Also in the paddock yesterday, Linda Rice. She has some runners on the card today, not the least of which Blind Willie McTell, who I like in the Albany. So we talked a little bit about that, a couple of other runners for Linda on this New York Showcase card. And again, talk a little bit, just briefly, asked her about the New York Bred program, because clearly she participates at a big level. So up next, trainer Linda Rice.
Showcase day on Friday. I have some nice entrants in. Let's take a look first at the Fleet Indian. Newly minted, lightly raced, but certainly has shown a lot of talent. 3 for 4 so far. What are you expecting Friday afternoon from newly minted?
Well, I haven't, you know, I've given her a little time between races. We tried her on the turf at Belmont. Obviously, it did not go well at all. We're hoping to rebound here in the Fleet Indian. She's trained well into the race. I'm hoping that we have her tight enough. And obviously, the distance is a question mark, but I'm pretty comfortable that she'll get the distance.
Fill us in the West Point. You have a fan favorite, Voodoo Song, going to step back in and face New York Bred. You're looking for a little bit of a rebound?
Yes, we are not certain at this time if we're going to run him tomorrow. Barry and I are going to talk later this evening. We may give him more time and wait for Belmont, wait for the Alex Robb.
All right, and finally, Blind Willie McTell in the Albany. I'm looking, handicapping, I'm thinking maybe the two turns last time gave him a little bit of an education and may benefit from that.
Yes, I think that he had a bit of a troubled trip there. A horse broke on the inside of him, carried him out pretty wide in the first turn, and he was never had any position the entire race. I thought that it was a credible effort for his first start around two turns. you know, obviously we'd rather be going 7 furlongs with him. He's proven at that distance. But for the time being, you know, hopefully, I think there's quite a bit of speed in the race. Maybe he'll be laying third and with a better trip. We have Jose Ortiz on, and so we're hoping for a good effort.
Just before we let you go, you're a player in the New York game and a New York showcase day like this. They have a few of them during the year at the various venues. Talk a little bit about the New York Bred program.
I'm a huge fan of the New York Bred program in every aspect. You know, I buy a lot of weanlings, yearlings, two-year-olds that are New York Breds. I race in New York year-round, and I think that my clients, more and more of my clients, see the advantages of buying New York Breds and breeding in New York as well. So it's a terrific program. I advise anyone to get involved.
Take advantage of the sale the other night?
Yes, we bought a couple there.
Very good. So we'll look for them next year. We'll wish you good luck on the weekend and going forward.
Thank you.
All right. My picture froze out here. Was the sound there at the end? Yes. Okay. So my picture, I have a monitor out here and my picture froze. So I guess it was just me, but you got to hear the Linda Rice interview talking a little New York Breds and some of her New York Breds on today's card. She mentioned, we taped this yesterday, she mentioned that they were going to talk a little bit last night about Voodoo Song and decide, scratches are up, Voodoo Song's still in the West Point. So maybe that bodes well for that one. I think getting back to state breds, we'll see a little bit of a rebound from Voodoo Song today. Before we wrap up, I wanted to show one more race. This one from across the pond yesterday, the Yorkshire Oaks. We'll watch the stretch run. Only a field of four. Why only a field of four for a nice grade one, group one over in Europe? Well, Enable is in here. However, running second, the number three horse was Magical. Magical was...
Enable, who leads them in here, going to the 4 furlong marker. Larty Dar in the pink...
So it was a field of four, but with Magical in there, there was clearly some class. Magical this year had been... in the winner's circle three times and five starts with a couple seconds, so she has continued to run well. But no match for the queen, Enable, who won yesterday. The Yorkshire Oaks continues on her quest for a three-peat in the Arc a little bit later this year. Excuse me. She is just phenomenal. Enable at York in the UK yesterday, getting it done. Another group one on her resume. It's just fun to be able to watch and be a racing fan during a time and be grateful that they came over. You know, you would think, boy, wouldn't it be great if she won a third Arc and came over and tried the Breeders' Cup turf again? But if you're European-based, the Arc is like the exclamation point. And if she gets the three-peat, they already have the Breeders' Cup turf where she beat the boys on the resume. They don't need to do that again. So the career ender is scheduled to be the Arc coming up in October. Can't wait to see that, see if she can three-peat in there. All right, going to wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. Do want to hit you with some of the promos before we go. Don't forget today's a fan appreciation day at the Queensbury Branch. First 50 folks get a bet voucher, giveaway, a racing program. There's a match bet promo and a contest, food and beverage. Queensbury Branch today between noon and 5. Give us our chance to say thank you to you. Bounty bet returns $675 up for grabs. The late pick 5 at Saratoga. Just play with your Capital OTB bet account this afternoon. The late pick 5 here at Saratoga, and you're in for a shot at the bounty. There's also a late pick 5 bankroll with Sully. Team's been selected, but you can check Twitter or the website, I assume, for the play numbers. See if Sully can hit for the bankroll team. Mike hit for the bankroll team last week, and everybody wound up with a nice little chunk of money. See if Sully can do it again this week. Mike back in tomorrow with the $1,000 bankroll. That team was selected last night. Entries closed. But Mike will be in live tomorrow afternoon here on the network with Cuttins all day with his plays. Should be fun. Maybe giving you some ideas on horses to add or subtract from your tickets. That's all afternoon. Travers Day here on the network. Mike Callahan with the $1,000 bankroll. There's an Empire 6 promotion tomorrow at the Clubhouse Racebook. Love to see you up here at the track on what is going to be a gorgeous day and a great day of racing. If you can't make it, however, the Clubhouse Racebook is an option with the Empire 6 promotion, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, the same location for a double Sunday promotion. Clubhouse Racebook with the Naira Pick 4 and a match bet on Sunday. You can check out the website, capitalotb.com, for all the promo information, promos and events. One of the events here in town that we do want to continue to remind you of, because I always like to tout the Andy Radio Show, I typically go down and grab my hot turkey sandwich at the Parting Glass and enjoy Andy's radio show. This week, because he was emceeing the charity dinner last night, the radio show has been moved to tonight, Friday, at the Parting Glass. For this week only, 8 o'clock at the Parting Glass, Andy Bilmott, Javier Castellano, Paul LaDuca, and Carlos Martin, who has come dancing, looking pretty good on tomorrow's card off some workouts. So again, that's tonight, the Parting Glass at 8 o'clock for Andy's radio show. Capital OTB, one of the sponsors. Do want to thank everybody that joined us this morning. It was a fun show. Kieran McLaughlin enjoyed his visit. Ron Nicoletti, always fun to see Ron when he's in town from Gulfstream Park. And Alicia Winch-Hughes, the director of NTRA Communications, appreciate her visit as well, and the time that was taken in the paddock yesterday for the taped interviews with Chad Brown and Linda Rice. It's a fun card today, New York Showcase Day. Lots of opportunities on the card. Jump in and play. Come on up and enjoy the day. And I will continue to say it, this has to be one of the best mornings we've had so far. The humidity, gone. Temperatures very comfortable, sunny, beautiful, and it's going to be more of the same tomorrow. So make your plans today and tomorrow throughout the weekend to come up to Saratoga and enjoy the racing action. Programming note again, want to keep reiterating this with the early post time here at Saratoga tomorrow, 11:35 a.m. That means an early post time for us here on the network as well. Tomorrow's Handicappers Report kicks off at 8 a.m. Saratoga's at the Spa with Brian Otto kicks off at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So mark that on your calendar so you don't miss any of the great coverage here on the OTB TV network. I'm Seth Merrill. This is Racing Across America, wrapping things up for this Friday afternoon. See you back here tomorrow, Handicapper Support, at 8 a.m.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for Life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.